May it please the court and fellow counsel, Robert Lickie on behalf of Mr. Williams. It appears that this case is, I think, it's about the word accrual and what accrual means in the context of Rule 6. For instance, a defendant on page 17 of the brief cited the Martin Marietta Supreme Court case, which said that the tort, the wrongful discharge tort, accrues in the date of discharge. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean you begin counting your days for the statute of limitations purposes on the date of accrual? Or do you apply Rule 6 and say, no, under Rule 6, although it accrues on, let's pick a date, June 5, we begin counting on June 6. That's real simple application of Rule 6. I tried to find a case that discussed the word accrual in light of Rule 6. Couldn't find one.
Counsel, I have a pretty basic question. I understand that the federal cases apply Federal Rule 6A, which is the federal rules of civil procedure are enacted by Congress.
Right.
Our civil rules of procedure in Colorado are not enacted by the legislature. They're created by the Colorado Supreme Court.
Right.
So, how is it that we are supposed to apply a rule of civil procedure to a statute?
Well, the case already says that. Maggie, I think that's how you pronounce it.
That we are not bound by those cases.
Well, Maggie is a Colorado Court of Appeals case.
We are not bound by other divisions of the Court of Appeals.
Okay, well, Nagy says that you apply it.
So why is it correct?
Well, the statute also says that's how you apply. Now, the statute says when you're applying the computation of days, but I can't see why that wouldn't also apply to the computation of years.
I can. It says computation of days, and
right.
There's a statute that says a year is a year.
Okay, so now, What you're proposing, I think, is that you may carve out, and I'm not disputing the court's authority on this. You could carve out a separate rule for the calculation of years, if you want.
I don't know that we would be carving anything out. The statute says a year is a year. That's in section 24107.
Yeah, it says that. But the statute says that when you're computing time, you don't count the first day, and you count the last day.
What statute is that, counsel?
That was the statute you cited in our brief. That is section 2-4-108, computation of time. In computing the period of days, the first day is excluded and the last day is included, which is exactly the same as Rule 6. It seems to me that there should be one way of calculating time. And it's just not all that difficult if you apply Rule 6, as Navy said that. Is it Cade or Cade? I'm not sure you pronounce it.
I would say Cade. But
Cade. Navy said that Cade said that you apply Rule 6 to statute of limitations, which is really the only rule available. Otherwise, you're not going to have a rule. You would have case law, you would have precedent.
And statutes. But here's my question, counsel. Why should we be applying a rule of civil procedure to construe a statute? That's very basic question.
Because two prior cases have already done so. So there's precedent for you to.
Why are they right?
Because it's the available, it's the only available rule. What other rule are you going to have that talks about the computation of when you start a statute of limitations running?
So you're saying
there is no other rule on that I'm aware of.
Other than a statute that says a year is a year.
Well, a year is a year. And which statute are you referring to?
24107. Word year, as used in Colorado statutes, quote, means a calendar year, end quote.
Right. But that doesn't tell you at all on how you count the year. Now, if you want to go back, and say that you are now going to use a calendar year and not a an anniversary year, which the defendant is not advocating. But if that's what the court is advocating, then you run into the problem that I outlined in my brief, that if you have a 6-year statute of limitations, you now have 6 years minus, I'm not sure if it's minus 5 days, minus 6 days, or minus 7 days. I just don't know. It has to do with a similar type problem is, if you have, say, Bates numbers 8 through 13, how many pages do you have? Let's see, 8 minus 13, or 8 taken away from 13 is 5. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, no, it's 6. It's one of the problems we have in calculating as to whether it includes the number or whether it's between the numbers, which is the point I was trying to make in the reply brief. I think the only rule, though, that is out there that is available and is easily understood is Rule 6 as applied to the anniversary rule. Rule 6 says you don't apply the first day, the day of the event. And that is also clear that you don't apply partial days. So unless an event occurred at 12:01 and 1 second, you're always going to apply a partial day. So Rule 6 says you don't apply the day of the event. You begin counting on the next day. In our case, the day of the event was October 7th. You begin counting on October 8th. A year anniversary from that is October 8th of the next year. 2-year anniversary is 2 years later on October 8th.
Counsel, may I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that even if we agree with you that a calendar year, for instance, might be a messy way of calculating and there may be other means that are preferable, isn't that something that the legislature needs to address?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think this is something that the court can resolve, because there's rules out there that the court can use, and you don't have to say, legislature, fix this problem that we're perfectly able to fix.
I think it goes back to Judge Cherry's question, which is, how do we use a rule promulgated by the Supreme Court, though, to resolve what appears to be a statutory issue?
Because the next statute after Judge Terry's statute, which is Section 108, says that in computing a period of days, the first day is excluded and the last day is included.
Right.
So that's, you just adopt that statute, you say, in computing a period of days or months or years.
So we can presume that the fact that the legislature did not include years in that statute, they meant to, but they just failed to?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm not sure what the angst is about, since it's a relatively simple problem to fix, or I should say to make clear. And I don't think there's any reason to burden the legislature with a mechanical task, is what it is. I mean, this is not really a legal issue as much as it is it's a math problem. Because there are rules and statutes out there that have been followed by other court of appeals, and they can simply be followed in this case, but simply made clear that accrual does not mean that's when you begin counting your time period. Accrual means that's your trigger date, the date of the event. Rule 6 or the statute, subsection 108, says that you don't count that day because it's a partial day, but you count the last day of the time period. It's a real simple mechanical rule to apply, and I would suggest that the legislature doesn't need to be bothered with this type of resolution of conflict. If there's no other questions, I would just assume reserve my time for the end.
Very good.
May it please the court, counsel. Michael Hoffman, attorney for Crop Production Services. My registration number is 30207. Your Honor, because Mr. Williams filed his complaint after the statute of limitations expired, The district court properly dismissed it. The courts asked questions this morning about the application of Rule 6. At the time Kay was decided, Rule 6, and I have the book over there, the 2005 version, Rule 6 referred to time periods set by statute. That was removed in 2007 to remove the reference to statute. I haven't been able to determine exactly why. I assume it has something to do with the problem of a rule extending a statutory time period. But the General Assembly has already set the statutory time period for this claim, 2 years from the date of approval. Rule 6 does not apply. That means, as we explained in our opening brief, the court includes the first day of the date of accrual, October 7th, in its calculation. Under that method, the time period would expire on October 6, 2013, 2 days before Mr. Williams' suit. If you apply Rule 6, if the court interpreted the statute so as not to count the first day, the time would expire on the anniversary date of Mr. Williams' firing, October 7, 2013. Now, the plaintiff said the issue here is accrual. What does accrual mean? The accrual date is the date from which the limitations period begins to run. So, if an injury or a termination, as in this case, occurs October 7, 2011, that's the date on which the plaintiff has a claim and the statute of limitations begins to run. Rule 6 itself makes this clear. It refers to the date from which the limitations period begins to run. In our case, that's October 7, 2013. The only effect of excluding the first day, the accrual date, from the calculation is that the plaintiff hasn't lost a day on the day his claim arises. This is easier to understand if you think about a period of days rather than a period of years. Suppose the court were to enter judgment in this case today. Under Rule 48, there would be 14 days to file a petition for rehearing. If you count today as day one, day 14 would be 2 weeks from yesterday. So it would be Monday. If you don't count today as day one, you count tomorrow as day one, the 2 weeks would expire 2 weeks from today, the anniversary date, 2 week anniversary date of the court's judgment. So that's how not counting the accrual date in the calculation works as a mathematical matter. It doesn't change the date on which the statute of limitations begins to run. It doesn't extend it by another day from the date of accrual. And this is made clear, I think, by this court's prior precedent. For example, in Cave, the court held where the plaintiff whose claim accrued on November 4th, 1986, the day she tripped and fell, had to sue by November 4th, 1988, the 2 year anniversary of the accrual of her claim. Likewise, in Golden Aluminum, this court held that a claim that had to be filed, in that case a petition for refund of the tax, within 2 years after January 1st, 1990, was timely filed on January 2nd, 1992, because January 1st was a holiday. The entire discussion would have been unnecessary if, as the plaintiff contends, Rule 6 always adds an extra day to a limitations period.
So in all of those cases, essentially, the courts come out that the anniversary date of the date the event happened,
yes,
is the date when the statute of limitations runs out.
Exactly.
Even though they may have discussed Rule 6.
Yes, even though they may have discussed Rule 6. That's correct.
And so, what do we do with Rule 6 discussion then? Do we need to disagree with those decisions that came out prior to this? 25 years ago, almost all of them came out. For instance, the Nagy case does say we held that CRCP, and they're talking about Cade, 6A applies when computing any statutory time period, and they're talking about extending it by a day there, it looks like. So certainly Cade is, and they're relying on Cade. So what do we do with the prior case law that's out there?
I think I'd make two observations. I think first, the court would observe that Rule 6 has been amended since those cases were decided. And I think although it wouldn't matter for the resolution of this case, because Mr. Williams is untimely either way, I think the court, as a matter of statutory interpretation, may wish to say whether it will apply the calendar date method to statutory time periods measured in years, or whether it will apply the anniversary date method. I think it's a matter of statutory construction within the court's authority, but I don't think the court can any longer rely on Rule 6, which has been amended to remove the reference to statutory limitations periods. Aaron, you asked a question about the cases, and it's true, they all say the anniversary date expires on the date of approval, not the day following. We didn't find a Colorado case where the plaintiff sued the day following, but the court in K did cite with approval the Evans against Ocracivity case, where the plaintiff was injured on a certain day, sued 2 years and a day later, and the Evans court said that's too late. Likewise, in the day against Morgenthau, Second Circuit case, the plaintiff sued 1 day after, I believe it was a 6-year limitations period. The Second Circuit said it's a day too late. As stands against Marcello, a federal prisoner filed a habeas petition 1 day after the 1-year anniversary of his conviction becoming final. The Seventh Circuit said that's too late. We didn't locate, the plaintiff hasn't cited any cases where a plaintiff was given 2 years and a day from the date of his or her alleged injury to sue. And such a holding would be inconsistent with all the case law, all the authority in Colorado and elsewhere. It also, I would point out, it would really complicate the change this court has made to measuring things, deadlines, in terms of weeks. The court now measures 49 days, which is 7 weeks, 7 days, 14 days. It's easy to understand. If the judgment came out today, I would have 2 weeks from today to file a petition for a hearing. Suddenly, if Rule 6 is applied the way the plaintiff contends, it becomes effective with 15 days, 8 days, 50 days. It's confusing. It's not what the bar has become used to. So I urge the court to adhere to the rule that's been the rule in Colorado and hold it, and filing on the anniversary date is timely, anniversary date of the injury, but if filing a day late is untimely. Your Honor, have any other questions on the statute of limitations? The other issue raised by the plaintiff was a challenge to the fee award. We point out in our opening brief that the court doesn't have jurisdiction over that issue because no notice of appeal was filed. It doesn't really have a lot of practical significance because if the court were to reverse, I assume the district court would vacate the fee award, but the court does lack jurisdiction over it. At the end of our opening brief, we have a request for attorney's fees. If the court affirms, we request that the court affirm award fees and calculate and remand to the district court for a calculation of the amount of those fees. Unless the court has further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Opposing counsel raised an interesting question. If he has to do something 2 weeks from today, what is that? Is it 2 weeks including today, or is it 2 weeks beginning tomorrow and you go 14 days? That's what this case is about. We need some certainty, apparently. I thought that the application of the rule and the anniversary rule would be relatively straightforward, but I think it's confusing. And Judge Roman, in answer to your question, I think what you have to do, if you don't want to, if you want to follow what the defendant has posing, then I think you have to specifically disagree with Nagy. Because Nagy is, remember, that's a promissory note case. And you cited to Nagy earlier, but on the next paragraph, it says that here the promissory note was dated October 25, 1979, and was due and payable 90 days after that date. The first day after the issue date would have been October 26. So it was due, it was dated October 25. So the next day is October 26, 1979, and the 90th day was January
23, 1980. Yes, but isn't that a distinct situation, counsel, because a promissory note doesn't become late and unpaid until the day after the date that it's due. Right? Okay, so that isn't that why you start counting the day after for a promissory note case?
Well, then if something happens at 10 o'clock tonight, do I count today or do I begin counting tomorrow?
It depends on what it is. If it's an injury, maybe you start counting today.
Well, then if it's an injury under Cade, they said no, you begin counting the next day because you don't count the day of the accident. Although, as I pointed out in our brief, Cade, I think, misapplied the rule in dicta. They said, and they filed it exactly on the last day, which I think the last day would have been November 5, the day after the accident.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Not the anniversary date. Yeah, exactly. but I point that out for a reason. We in the trenches need to have a rule that we clearly understand. And we need to be able to make these calculations so that, I mean, think of a poor paralegal. What are they going to do? In this particular case, he came to me just weeks before. I said, listen, your drop dead date is. And he got back to me the day before. He said, okay, I think I want to go heaven. But, you know, these types of problems are problems that we have to deal with, and we really need some type of certainty so that we can tell our clients otherwise. I mean, look what happens. His case is gone. I mean, this is pretty severe event as far as he's concerned. I'm not saying that makes a difference, but I'm saying that what does make a difference is that we have clarity from the court.
I would certainly agree with you, sir, yeah. That we need clarity.
Yeah, we need clarity from the court. And I think when it comes to, I raised that issue of accrual, and I think that accrual is one of those, you know, Latinesque type terms, and we think of it without really fully thinking through what it means. And what I would propose that accrual means is that accrual means that's the same as the date of the event. Now, when do we start counting your times? In every other instance, we begin counting the time. We don't use the partial day. So we begin counting the time on the first full day. I think it makes sense. And it gives some certainty to how we do these math problems. And then the anniversary date, that's pretty simple. It's always going to be an extra day, whether it's 1 year anniversary, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 6 year statute of limitations is always going to be 6 years plus that one extra day because of the nature of what an anniversary is.
Now, Mr. Hoffman said that we could decide the case by noting that CRCP Rule 6 has changed, that it was amended in 2007. It means something different than it did in 1990. Can you address that?
Well, the reasoning is still there. What we need as attorneys in the trenches, we need to know what the rule is. I believe that you're in a perfect position to outline what the rule is. Now, you can say that the rule is we don't start on the first full day, or you can say we do start on the first full day. Just give us a rule. That's what we're asking for. And because all the precedent is we start on the first full day, I'm suggesting that would be the wisest way for the court to go. But you could go a different way. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that the wisest way is to follow the precedent. The precedent's established by Cade and Nagy, Hurst, those cases, which says, I mean, this case is really simple. When do you begin counting? On the day of the incident or the first full day?
But my question to you, I guess, is if the rule changed in 2007, substantively, why doesn't that change our analysis as well?
No, it doesn't have to, because you still have to make a rule. Are you going to have the counting of the statute of limitations on the first partial day or the first full day? That's the issue. It's no more complicated than that. I see my time is up.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both for your fine arguments. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. We only have one case on the